drive to right. It is out of here. And we are going home.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, he has had some moments. There's no two ways about it. I know that there's a lot of you out there. I mean, I'm seeing it. Seeing it right now, Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. So glad Yaz is gone. Look, not a great player. And he was also streaky. So that means he went through some periods, like right now, by the way, where he was a frustrating watch at the plate. But he's a good Giant. And he's a really, really good right fielder out there defensively. And, yeah, he had a little bit of a knack for the ninth inning because, dude, I'm having a hard time counting up all the walk-offs that Mike Yastrzemski has in his, you know, 6.5 years as a San Francisco Giant. There are quite a few, including this year.
Yeah, and the splash hits themselves, I'm just looking at the list, and he's got 7, which is tied for third most among Giants hitters. Bonds has all of them. Bonds with 35. And Brandon Belt. He's got 10. And then it's, actually, Pablo has 8. And then you get to Yaz with 7. So fourth on the list. Late Night Lamont was 6. And so I don't think he'll catch Yaz.
No.
Unlike his chances. But he's got that as something. You talked about the walk-offs, and he's got the splash hits. And as it sits right now, he's got the last of the splash hits, number 106, just hit this year.
Crazy.
And that was the one Lucas played.
Yep. Yeah. No, he's had some real good moments, and I'm not having a hard time as we think about him moving on to a new team. Like, that's your first moment to start looking back on a guy and thinking about, I don't know how you would sort of define the whole thing. And sure, there was some frustration in there, but to me, this is a lot more good than bad that Mike Yastrzemski brought to the table. And that's before you even get to kind of what we detailed a short time ago, which is just the story itself. I mean, think about, remember when they went to Boston the first time after acquiring Mike Yastrzemski and what that must have felt like for him to play baseball at Fenway Park with the last name Yastrzemski, and the dude stepped up in the second game of a 3-game series and rocked one over the center field wall, like hit a home run. What a freaking moment, Yeah. Dude. What a moment. And so I think about that with him. Like, he's someone who was able at times to meet really big moments. Like, he did not cower in those moments. And that's some of the best stuff that you can say about a professional athlete.
2020, during the abbreviated COVID year, he was 8th in the MVP voting. I'd forgotten that.
Dude, he played really well.
And if you look at he had 7 years with the Giants, including this year. Every year, his wins above replacement are at least 2.0, and they're not above 2.7, which was that year, but every year when he plays, which is a lot, he plays phenomenal defense, and he contributes at the plate to the level that, you know, other players on the team would, and the wins above replacement show you that he's a better-than-replacement-level player.
This is a career 16.1 WAR.
Right.
And a career OPS that's at 768. I always, for me, the marker, north of 700 is when you're like, you're fine. North of 750 is when I'm like, dude, you're good. You're good. And OPS to me has sort of become the number one benchmark that people use for how you're producing overall. And he is north of 750 for his career. Now, not for this year. He's below 700 this year. He's
first time in his career.
Yeah, not having a great year, but the year's not over. But yeah, 768 career OPS, 114 career home runs. This from a dude toiling in the Orioles farm system at age 28. Come on, man. Like, I know that sports gets to be cynical and they make millions of dollars, so it's a performance-based industry and we get to say what we want. Sure, that's all true, but come on, man. This is a good Giant. He's a good Giant, and he deserves a hell of a salute. And he was also a great dude, as you said, with his time, with everybody.
And you always told me about the times when you were doing a show at a different day part, a different station, and you know you needed some interviews to fill because it was COVID, and you're doing it from home, and your kids are asleep, and so you know you're trying to record some stuff, and then he would always be there to give you a good, long, healthy piece.
He was probably the guy I talked to the most. He was probably the most gracious with his time of everybody in the Giants clubhouse since I've come back home and started covering the Giants, which happened actually like right before Mike Yastrzemski got acquired by the team.
Exactly.
Like I've been here for 6.5 years. Mike's been here for 6.5 years. It just kind of lined up that way. Nobody has been more generous with his time than Mike Yastrzemski.
And I think that fans, and you can weigh in on your own thoughts, 888-957-9570. I think fans are frustrated because Yaz is kind of symbolic of what the Giants have been, which is, oh, that's your right fielder? Right. Like these other teams have these monsters out there. And, you know, Yaz, year over year, had better years than you remember, because you remember the strikeouts and you remember the failures and you kind of tie him in with the offense overall. But he's got 25 homer year, a 21 homer year. He's always, like this year he has 8. If he would have finished out the year, he probably winds up with 13 or 14. Okay. So he's been a pretty consistent presence out there in right field.
I love if Mike Yastrzemski is like your 7th hitter. I mean, the problem with the Giants the last handful of years is sometimes he's your leadoff hitter. I'm like, well, let's not do that.
Right.
You know, but I mean, yeah, if Mike Yastrzemski is hitting 6th or 7th for you or something like that, yeah.
Well, that was this year, right? This year, now that you get everybody in, and if you really want to roll out your lineup the way you would hope, if guys are playing the way they should, he is your 7th hitter.
I know, but sometimes it's been, $100 million Jung Hoo Lee.
Right.
And, you know, whoever's catching. And
Adamas had to go all the way down to 6.
Whoever's playing second base and whoever's catching, those are your 8, 9 guys. But yeah, anyway, so Mike Yastrzemski's a Royal. Camilo Duvall is a Yankee. Tyler Rogers is a Met. The Giants have waved the white flag. And so we can get to all of that. And included in that is your reaction on sort of the two things that we're sitting here talking about. A, how do you think Buster did at the deadline? But then there's the bigger picture of, and I think Giants fans are still just coping with this, the fact that we're here. Like, this is stunning. The Giants are sellers. I mean, the number one baseball reporters in America, Jim Bowden on Monday was quoted as saying the Giants remain incredibly aggressive in the buyer's market looking for a right-handed hitting power bat in the outfield. That was on Monday. It's Thursday. They just sold for 8 minor leaguers. They just gave up. That's what this Giants season is, which is incredible and awful and disastrous. And it brings all kinds of things to the table that were unimaginable even a week ago, such as Bob Melvin's job status and Jung Hoo Lee's ability to hold down center field and Patrick Bailey being your future catcher. All of these things are completely now up for debate.
It's all on the table, and it's because you've gone 3-12 over the last 15, and the way you've gone 3-12 is even more heinous than the fact that you've gone 3-12. And that's the part, I think, that gets Buster Posey so angry. And, you know, coming up, we're going to hear from him and Zach Manassian, and they're going to address everything that they've done over the last 48 hours and how what's been going on has been unacceptable and all the rest of it. I can't wait to hear them actually speak on it. And Buster's not going to convey the anger and the frustration that I'm sure he feels, but that's the thing, Mark, is they've gone 3-12 over the last 15, but the record is actually better than the way the product has looked on the field. I don't even know if that's possible, but outside of those two games against Atlanta where you had the bats cracking, they've been like awful.
Lost them all.
They won one other game, but
they did?
Yeah, because they scored 9 twice in Atlanta.
Right, they won those two. I can't remember the last win before that one. When was it?
I think it was against the Dodgers.
But wasn't it pre-break?
Yeah.
The All-Star break.
Right.
Yeah, 2 wins. Those 2 games in Atlanta, that's it. You swept in Toronto.
Yep.
You swept by the Mets. You swept by the Pirates.
Yeah.
And you had one loss in Atlanta, which was Birdsong almost decapitating somebody after walking 8 people or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, boy. That's right.
That's your second half. What the hell is everybody doing? I mean, that's like, if you want to just like duck out of the whole deadline thing for a second, like if the Giants were all sitting here in front of me, isn't that what you'd say? What the hell are all of you doing?
Yeah.
This is a major league team? You got starting pitchers coming out and throwing the ball straight to the backstop like it's a Bull Durham remake? People don't know the infield fly rule? You don't know where your cutoff man is? You got pitchers standing on first base, don't even know where the ball is coming from? This is a major league squad. No wonder Buster's like, screw it. Screw it. We're out. You got people with the same record who are out there buying. Buster's like, we're not doing this. And his players are right. Logan Webb and Matt Chapman are team leaders, and they were absolutely correct to do what they did yesterday, which is come out and say, we didn't do anything to deserve anybody adding to this. And you're right. You didn't. It's brutal.
Yeah, it's awful. And you go 0-6 on a homestand, which is the first time the Giants have done that in a homestand of six games or more since 1896. And Arthur Irwin might have lost his job as the manager. I'm just looking. It was he and Bill Joyce at the Polo Grounds. They wound up going 64-67-2. Couple of draws in there.
Two
games tied. That was not a very good Giants team.
No. No, and neither is this one.
Yep.
888-957-9570. Let's talk to y'all, okay? Zach in San Francisco. Hi, Zach. Thank you for calling the show.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, kind of going on what you guys were just talking about. Is this the end of the season for the Giants?
Yeah. I mean, it's just different now. I mean, it's the end of the chase in my mind. The players who are still here are allowed to go win baseball games. So I don't know if you're, the script to the movie Major League, like you're allowed to go do that, but no, like they've waved the white flag.
That's what I was thinking. It felt like that for the past month almost, and we've added one new player and lost three of our good guys.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal, Zach. But what do you think of the job that Buster sort of pivoted and did this week?
You know what? Being a longtime San Francisco native, I have a lot of hope into Buster. The move that he's already made, you know, by starting with Raffy Devers, which was a blockbuster, I have a lot of hope in what he's doing. I'm happy he's at least making moves. At least we're not staying stagnant.
Yeah, I agree with that, Zach. I mean, look, one thing that I always love in an executive is be definitive with your movements. I think that's really important. And Buster Posey has shown very clearly in 1 year under the gun here that he is very definitive with his movements. There's no sort of, like, do you remember those deadlines where Farhan would be like, yeah, we're going to buy and sell.
Right.
Like, we're going to make a good deal. If it's a good deal for the organization, it's like, okay, well, Buster's done what? Buster walks in here, and he kind of had his fingerprints on the Chapman extension, and then he's like, pow, Willie Adames, 7 years, we're doing that. And then we're playing good baseball. Skaboom, we're doing Raffy Devers. Kyle Harrison's no longer a Giant. Big moves, definitive, and then you suck for 4 weeks, and he's like, boom, we out, definitive.
He walked into the bullpen having traded Tyler Rogers moments earlier and gave him the old finger, come on over, come here,
yeah.
And you've been traded, like, right early in the ballgame, and then today, like you saying, you know, boom, Doval, boom, Yastrzemski, those are definitive moves, and I'm seeing people on Twitter, experts, calling the Doval trade the worst at the deadline because they didn't get, you know, top prospects back. I'd like to wait until we see what these players actually are and how they either rise or fall in the Giants organization. But to your point, definitive. He wanted to make changes, and he went out yesterday and today, and he made three big trades to shake things up.
We do have a completely different piece of news that we want to throw in there that I know people are kind of talking about, and maybe a little bit later on in the afternoon, we can talk about what this may mean and if it means anything for the 49ers. But Terry McLaurin of the Commanders has officially requested a trade. He reported to camp, but they've been in major contract squabbles out there, and so today he has officially requested a trade from the Washington Commanders. Debo Samuel's wide receiver mate would like out. And I know there are some people who think that Brandon Ayuk might like to play with Jaden Daniels someday, his former college teammate and friend. So
right.
Anyway, food for thought. But
something to keep your eye on.
A little bit later.
Yeah. And, I mean, if Ayuk were healthy, then we could get into a full show of, you know, what would it take? And would you and would they? And straight up swap one for one and all the rest of it. So Ayuk out for probably 4 weeks, maybe eight. Who knows how long?
Probably
so
more.
That becomes a non-starter.
Yeah, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Look, I don't know, and I'll read too. I haven't seen that yet, that people are kind of ripping the trade with the Yankees. Here's what I'll say about it. I find it very interesting that Buster decided to target a AAA catcher. I think that's very interesting from multiple angles.
Yeah.
A, Buster's a catcher, and I think that he probably knows what he wants a catcher to look like. And I think Patrick Bailey has had an incredibly disappointing season on a lot of levels, and so I think it's interesting that that's the headline of the return for Camilo Duvall as a AAA almost ready catcher.
I would say he's ready. I've never seen the player, but just looking at his matriculation from, you know, a 17-year-old in the Dominican Summer League, as we're getting to know that league more and more, he now, this year, has played 78 games in AAA. Started in AA for 7 games. Boom, you're up to triple. OPS of 839. And he's playing a ton there. He's got some power with the 5 home runs, but I like the batting average of 317. He clearly can hit. The reports that you read from your sources in the New York Yankees farm system, he's a good defensive catcher as well. So I would be stunned, Mark, if he's not elevated to the Giants' big club within, I'll even say, a week. Maybe you wait for him to come home, you give him some Sacramento time, and let him pat his stats there, and then pow.
Sure, there's a lot there, right? I don't know about it. Get your feet on the ground. What's the actual whole thing? But yeah, if you're going to wave the white flag on a season, you don't need Andrew Kisner on the team anymore if you have somebody that you want to get some big league at bats. So I don't know about a week, but you're probably right that sometime over the next couple months, we're going to see this kid up here.
No doubt, yeah. Because if he's doing that in AAA in that league, you would expect him to come to the PCL, which is much more hitter-friendly, and have those numbers go up even more. And personally, I'd like to see what the kid looks like behind the dish and how he works with the staff and, you know, working with Buster and Bob Melvin and the rest of the guys out there. So I would be stunned if it didn't happen sooner rather than later. And I know you got 40-man roster moves, and I'm just looking at it right now, and Jose Buto is on the 40-man. Duvall's listed, and he'll be gone. Yaz is still listed. He'll be gone. So the Giants are going to make some 40-man roster moves between now and tomorrow's game.
No question about it. Yeah, absolutely. Matt in Orinda is next up here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. What a great day.
Exciting.
Is it, Matt?
Yes, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, why?
Dan, and I feel like I can call... Well, Dan, I've followed you around, 20-plus years now. I feel like I can call you Dan.
Oh.
With Taylor Rogers moving around. You know what that is, right?
It's a relocation sensation?
It's a final destination sensation.
For now, anyway. Yeah. His brother's already been traded again, so.
There's another one.
Yep.
Well, which, by the way, brings up the amazing movie trilogies of Final Destination, Final Destination 2, and Final Destination 3. I'll let you guys figure out how that works. But Willard, you stole my thunder a minute ago, and this is the epitome of the fickleness of the Bay Area sports fan. A year ago, and all prior Farhan years, no movement, nothing. Willard said it. We're buyers, we're sellers. We're buyers, we're sellers. Well, if the opportunity presents itself, great. We're finally committed to something, which is excellent. And oh, by the way, I bet you $50 this is the exact opposite of the Warriors. We're going to get to see the young kids play this whole thing out. So it's a good day for all of those reasons.
Well, okay, so Matt, here's how I would sort of adjust what you're saying. It's a good day once you cope with the fact that it's a horrible day. Do you understand what I mean by that? The Giants should not be here. They're here. You do the best with what you got, right? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not promised. So you handle today. But I think a lot of Giants fans are not moving through the processing part of this as quickly as you are.
So Mark, You are what your record says you are.
That's my boy right there.
I hate that phrase.
Except for one time. except for one time. It's all good to be happy when you're playing above yourself, but they were playing so far above their house, themselves. Yeah, it was great to be happy.
I disagree, though.
Did anybody believe this team was 12 games over 500?
Well, 12 games over 500 is not that great, Matt. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't playing in first place. Here's why I fight back when everyone's like, gosh, the Giants were never any good anyway. Did you expect anything? To me, life's not about expectations. It's about looking at what's actually happening in front of you. And if, Matt, if you took watching the games off of, forget your TV and forget your fandom, and in fact, forget the names on the back of the jerseys. And I told you, here lies a baseball team. This team has two all-star starting pitchers. It has the best bullpen in all of the National League. It has, let me count them up. One, two, three, four. Is it four? It has four offensive players with nine-figure contracts, and one of them is absolutely a perennial all-star, one of the top 10 hitters currently in the game. If I said that to you, wouldn't you say, well, that sounds like a viable team?
Maddie?
See that. What we saw was a team that was deathly afraid of runners in scoring position. They were terrified. And in a situation like that, when you laid it out perfectly, Mark. You nailed it. When you have an abundance of things that you can sell because you're so terrible in the other half of the game, you are the definition of a seller. And when you've played above where you were supposed to be, my gosh, it's a wonderful day. Somebody saw reality.
I don't think they played above who they were supposed to be. When they were 12-3, were they going to go out and win 127 games and go 127-35? No,
but that's like, I always wonder when people do that. It's like it goes bad and you're like, see, that's who you are. Well, why weren't they who they were? If you are what your record says you are, Matt, you're kind of flying in the face of your own point. Because when their record was 12 games over 500, you're saying you are what your record says you are.
Yeah.
Well, then at that time, you were 12 games over 500.
And the fact that you are 3-12 in your last 15, and that includes the Dodgers series before the break, are you really that team? Well, you're both of those teams. In that 12-3 start and this 3-12 slide, you're 15-15, and you look at the whole 109 games you've played, and you're a game below 500. That's who you are. So you're all of those teams.
Yeah, totally. And I for one, like, I can sit here and go, yes, this was the right move, and maybe Buster did a good job of it. I don't know who these players are or whether they're going to be good Giants someday. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I think it was the right move today, but I'm not going to move off of the fact that this sucks. This is terrible.
It is.
This is absolutely terrible, and I'm going to continue to push back on anybody who goes, well, duh, this is reality. This is reality. No, that was reality as well, and there's no reason they should be playing this poorly. You all see it. They're not playing poorly because they just suddenly aren't good baseball players. They're literally playing moronic baseball. That's different than being bad players. Remember when on the crossover they're like, what's the one word to describe Bay Area sports? And I said confusing. I think everybody's confused by this.
Yeah.
Why does Rafi Devers now have a hole in his bat?
And confused by the way the Warriors are doing the Kuminga thing and all the rest of it.
Why does Elliot Ramos not know the rules to the game all of a sudden?
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
If the Giants had gone 10-5 in their last 15, we wouldn't be here today. I don't think that.
Not even close.
Even if they played that sloppily, but they were 10-5, it's like, you know, you won all these series, but you're not playing great. You're not selling off all these pieces.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? Let's keep rocking with you. 888-957-9570. We think Buster and Zach Manassian are going to speak at some point. Maybe they will. I do know that Chris Rowe is going to join us in about an hour or so. And so other surprises might be around the corner, too, on Willard and Dibbs.
So here's Mike Yastrzemski. He's going to lead things off. Yes, he's got some extra base ownage on Merrill Kelly. And he hits one high. He hits it deep. And he hits it out of here. What did I say? Extra base ownage?
You just said it, Dwayne. He has some extra base ownage. And no later than that, another one. He already had three home runs coming in to tonight versus Merrill Kelly. And make that four. Ownage is ownage, as your partner usually says.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Nice, Lucas.
Well played.
For the YouTube audience, he's playing Lord Royals.
Royals.
And I'm going to be a Royals.
He is a Royals. Unless he gets the Kyle Harrison treatment and they send him down. I don't think he's got any options left. So, Mike Yastrzemski, that was his last home run as a member of the Giants. Thank you, NBC Sports, Bay Area.
Yeah.
This from Alex Pavlovich. Grant McCray and Kai Wei Tang. What's the matter, Lucas?
I'm not a fan.
Of Kai Wei Tang?
Yeah.
Why not?
Let me look up what his ERA in the big leagues is with this team.
Well, what, he's pitched like twice.
How'd that go?
Okay, not well, but I mean, it didn't go well for Carson Wisenhunt either. You want to get rid of him? Like,
not the same.
Anyway.
You were saying about Kai Wei Tang.
Grant McCray and Kai Wei Tang have been scratched from the AAA lineup tonight.
Interesting, because I'm looking at the 40-man roster, which has been updated almost completely. Camilo Doval is still listed on the MLB roster, but Mike Yastrzemski is not.
Okay.
Interesting to note that Blade Tidwell is on the 40-man roster.
Oh, he's probably coming up.
Make a start. And so until they replace Doval, who's currently still on there, so maybe it's Kai Wei Tang who comes back on the 40-man, because he currently is not. Jose Buto has already been added to the 40-man, which makes sense.
Yeah, he'll be in the bullpen tomorrow night, no doubt.
And McCray, he is on the 40-man. So maybe it's Kai Wei Tang if he comes up.
No, Grant McCray is taking Mike Yastrzemski's job.
Correct.
No question. But, yeah.
And also, Luis Matos will get his chances it's a lefty. Sure. But I wonder if Kai Wei Tang will be a guy who's brought back up and put on the 40-man in place of Camilo Doval.
I believe that is the indication, is that those are prime candidates and options to at least come in, fill in some of the gaps this weekend that get created as the Giants sort of refigure the roster. And if you are just joining us this afternoon, trade deadline day, thank you for being with us. Mike Yastrzemski goes to the Royals in exchange for a young 21-year-old pitcher named Junior Marte, and then Camilo Doval goes to the Yankees for four players, minor leaguers. And oh, by the way, you're not wrong. Like you mentioned it earlier, that the internet is filled with people saying that the Yankees fleece the Giants in this trade because of the four players coming back. Only two of them are on the Yankees' top 30 prospect list, and neither of them are very high. One of them is 19, one of them is 25. However, in seeing what you're seeing, those are Yankee fans. Yankee fans believe that the Yankees fleeced the Giants. I would love to see, like what does Ken Rosenthal think? You know what I mean? What's Heyman think? Heyman is just finding out about the trade right now.
That's mean. That's mean-spirited is what that is.
We get to do that here. He told us we were getting Arson Judge.
Tristan Vreeling, a part of the deal, is just barely getting a taste of AA, and he's got a 5 ERA.
Okay.
So, I mean, just looking at the numbers, and again, the real interesting piece for me is the catcher.
It's the catcher, absolutely.
Jesus Rodriguez, if he can come up and, you know, press Bailey or even be a guy, a catcher at the Major League Club, then you feel better about the deal.
Let's get a call or two in because we're told that both Buster Posey and Zach Manassian are going to speak in a matter of minutes. So stay right here. They're about to speak. We'll have it live. Let's go to Ben and Hayward. Hi, Ben. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm really sad about Skrzynski. I think he's a real giant. You know, he's always been a real giant to me. I understand it. I understand the trade. Just sad, though. I agree with you. He's a stand-up guy and a real great guy, you know, for the organization. The other thing I'd say is, I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority, but I never really liked the Devers trade. It's like he wasn't even ready to work out in the at first base, and I don't know. It just, there was something when it happened. It's like I did not feel good about it. So, you know, but they got to blow up. They got to blow things up. And it's, I think it's good in the long run.
Yeah, Ben, thanks. I mean, sir, they've arrived at a spot where they had no choice but to do this. And if you didn't like the Devers trade, you didn't like the Devers trade. That's fine. I get it. It's been very disappointing so far. I think one thing that maybe we are forgetting or at least undervaluing, and you can see it when you watch him play baseball, Rafi Devers is hurt. And I would like to right now hope that that has a piece of the puzzle when you try to figure out why he has not been able to look like himself so far as a member of the Giants.
Well, if that's the case, then can we stop putting him at first base? Or maybe we just give him some time off and let him get healthy, because if he's hurt and you watch him run and he does labor a lot, if he's not 100%, then let's not do this first base thing anymore, because it's not really working. Playing first base.
Or quite frankly, with the way that Wilmer Flores is producing and the fact that you are now moving into a final 2 months of the season where you want to see your young guys, you want to see your future, I don't know that there's much of a reason to be putting Wilmer Flores into a lot of baseball games the rest of the way. Like that, he's a free agent. He's in his mid-30s. His body is broken. I get that you still want to win your games, but those are at-bats that Devers can have at DH. I like Dom Smith over at first base. And, oh, by the way, I think that 4 to 5 weeks from now, Bryce Eldridge might be on the team.
You're probably right, and I think you're going to see a lot of churn on this 40-man roster, which you got to be on the 40 to be able to get up with the 26. And so you've got some dead weight on that 40-man roster and guys who probably won't be here next year, so you're going to start to see some turnover.
Jeff in Sherman Oaks is next. Buster Posey, Zach Manassian speaking soon. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. A couple of things. Mark, I'm with you. I mean, this is just awful. And honestly, I'm a Bo Mel guy. I think this all falls on him. This is failure in basically every element of how the game is played. I've never seen this so widespread. They're doing nothing well. They're doing absolutely nothing well right now. That's the first thing. As far as the moves this weekend, or these last 24 hours or so, breaks my heart that Rodgers had to go, but he had to because he's in a walk year, and they did get some talent for him. I love Yaz like the next guy. He's done nothing. I couldn't stand watching his at-bats. He's been all but an automatic. What does he have, one RBI the entire month of July? And one last thing, guys, on the move today with regard to Duvall, and people are saying they didn't get value. Has anybody actually watched Duvall pitch in the last 2 years? He was dumped to the minor leagues last year. Has he had a 1-2-3 inning at all this entire year? The number of times this guy has come in, can't get with a one-run lead, can't get through the inning, much less when he's come in with more than a one-run lead. Everything comes down to, like, the last pitch. Everything's been a nail-biter. This is not the shutdown closer that he was a couple of years ago. This is selective memory. This guy, he could be again. This guy's not what he was a couple of years ago. I mean, come on. We're talking about this guy like he's an elite closer. He's not. He's been nothing but a train wreck the last couple of years.
Well, Jeff, it's an interesting way to look at it. Here's where I'll kind of split the difference with you based on the opinion you just shared. And thank you, Jeff, for calling. Really appreciate it. I do think that the return that the Giants got from the Yankees, simply based on the data of it, we don't know these players, but simply based on where they sit on the prospect rankings, it says to me that I don't think Buster was a big Duvall believer, because he didn't have to trade him. And he is still cheap for a couple more years. And I know that Jeff doesn't think he ever has a 1-2-3 inning, which is funny because he literally did yesterday. I think he struck out all three batters that he faced, in fact.
I gave up a hit.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was looking at his game log to think.
I stand corrected. But he looked good.
Yeah, oh yeah, struck out three.
And Duvall did have some stretches this year where that dominant self showed itself, but at the same time, last year did happen. He went from all-star to minor leaguer.
Yep.
It happened. Buster was here to watch it, and this year has been mostly good, but some bad as well, and he didn't even start the year as the closer. So I do think there are remnants of, I don't think Buster was a big Duvall guy when you look at this deal. And maybe the Yankees tapped into that. To where they're right. Like, because Buster didn't have to trade him, but Buster was maybe like, we're going to trade him.
And Doval doesn't step in as their closer. He probably, he might be better suited to be an eighth inning guy anyway.
They traded for Bednar today as well.
Right.
The Yankees got the Pirates closer also.
I look at the things that the caller was talking about and just, you know, this year he comes into a tie game in the 10th against Miami and he gives up four runs, three earned, and that's not a save situation. And, you know, there was a two-inning performance where he gave up two earned runs. I think there are certain times, and you mentioned this before, last year when he'd go into a game where they're up by five runs and he wouldn't pitch well, and you could tell that he was a little bit mopey about the fact that he had to go in there. So I think the makeup of the player was a big part of the motivation for why you're going to go ahead and move off him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And so, you know, I'm not going to come down hard on the deal. Like, who knows? Maybe they just, like, they might have gotten their catcher next year. They might have just gotten their catcher. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people are starting to lean out on Patrick Bailey. And I'll just say this about Bailey. I don't think we're done yet with this story, and he is a wonderful defensive catcher, and that will always matter. But at the same time, if you are starting to prepare for the future of baseball, and you are thinking that there are going to be robo-umps or at least review, and I think the review process is actually probably pretty close, well, that clearly diminishes the importance of framing. Clearly.
All but eliminates it.
And so if that's the best thing that Bailey does, and he only hits 200 and struggles to get the ball in play in big situations, well, then maybe you'd like to get back to having a catcher who could be better on offense. And this guy has, again, it's only AAA, but he's projecting right now to be a much better offensive player than what Patrick Bailey is.
And if you have Bailey still, then you can be in a platoon situation and he can hit, you know, Bailey can be your lefty catcher. This guy can be your righty catcher.
All right, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. And here are Buster Posey and GM Zach Manassian after the trade deadline live.
We're just going to get right into questions for Buster and Zach. Let's start.
Hey, Buster and Zach. Oops, sorry.
Recording in progress.
No, go ahead, Susan.
Buster, how difficult was this for you, first with kind of having to pivot from maybe thinking about adding and instead not only dealing guys, but some guys that you had played with and are friends with?
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to be in a different position to add. Unfortunately, you know, the way we played, had to make a decision here to try to add some talent that we felt like could help us going forward. Look, I knew when I took this job that one of the harder parts was going to be at some point, you know, moving on from guys that I had a personal relationship with and I played with. So, that's not an easy phone call or conversation to have in person. But overall, I think Zach and myself and the rest of the group are happy with the players that we have come in to put on a Giants uniform now.
What were those conversations like, particularly with Tyler and Yaz?
Just look, like, hey, it's a friendship. Stinks we're in this position, but you know, pretty brief for the most part. You know, they get it. They're both pros. You know, just thanked them for all their time as a Giant. Me being not too far away from playing. Like, I understand what it takes. I understand what it takes, the effort to be ready to go in the offseason, the sacrifice of the family. You know, a trade like this uproots wives and kids as well. So that all played a part in the conversation.
Justice.
Hey, Buster, you're obviously still in the midst of a pretty brutal stretch, 12 of 14, six straight with the back-to-back sweeps. Do you believe this team can still compete for the playoffs this year? And if so, what leads you to have that belief?
Yeah, nothing's ever out of the question there. I mean, we've got to play better baseball, plain and simple. We just haven't looked like the same team as we did at the beginning of the year. You know, I felt like at the beginning of the year, we harped on doing the little things right. It was clean baseball, and then we've kind of taken a 180. So we've somehow got to recapture that form, that style of baseball that we had at the beginning of the season. You know, losing a guy like Raj, like Doval, like Yaz. These are veteran players that do impact your team, but we still feel like we've got a group that should go out there and perform much better than they have, you know, the last month or so.
When did the front office collectively decide that it was ultimately in the best interest to sell as opposed to making additions?
You know, I don't know if there was like a aha moment when we said, all right, we've got to do this. I think Zach and I and Jeremy had, you know, just been watching and watching the type of games we're playing. You know, and again, we wish we were in a spot that we were adding. But as poorly as we played since the All-Star break, you know, I think we all felt like it was the best decision for the organization to try to get some pieces coming back that'll help us in the future.
Go to Ann.
Hey, Buster. This is your first trade deadline. I'm just curious if you feel, is this job harder than you thought it was going to be when you took the job?
I don't know. I honestly am. Like, I didn't have a ton of expectations coming in. I was just trying to be an open book as much as I could. So I'd say there are certain parts of it that are harder, certain parts maybe that aren't as hard. And as much as anything, it feels like just going through this the first year, there's certain points throughout the year where the amount of, I guess, I hate to call it work. We're still getting to do baseball stuff, but the amount of work goes up. And then there's certain periods where there's not as much going on. This certainly is one where it's been a busy last week to 10 days.
And also, you know, 6 weeks ago, there was so much excitement and positivity around the Devers trade. Can you explain what happened besides just playing bad baseball? I mean, how did this nosedive occur?
No, I can't explain it. I mean, I think we all wish we had something that we could concretely point to. But it's a really rough stretch. And unfortunately, you know, it's one that, again, we wish we weren't in this spot that we were trading away and we were adding at this point. But no, look, like, I had the conversation with Bob after the Rodgers trade and just said, you know, from my end, the expectation is for us to go out and, like, we're going to play hard. We're going to play hard the rest of the way. The expectation is we need to play better. I've said it from the beginning, there's a brand of baseball that our fans expect, and that's going to always be the goal. The goal is every day to go out and try to win the game in front of you. Obviously, you're not going to win every day, but the mindset, no matter what the standings say, no matter how bad you feel like it is, like, that's what we have to do. And you know, Bob obviously is on board with that.
Buster Posey and GM Zach Manassian of the Giants talking on 95.7 The Game after the trade deadline.
Thank you. Buster, was there ever a time when you were in a buying mode and you were asked when that happened? I mean, was it a slow process and, you know, that you changed from buyer to seller? And also, when you were a buyer, did you feel like there was some potential to bring in other big guys beyond Devers based on any of your prospects, maybe even the high-ranked ones?
That's hard to say just because we didn't have those conversations. I mean, I think if I learned anything that – the conversations that you have, you know, a week ago are very different than they are 3 days before the deadline or 2 days before the deadline or the day of the deadline or an hour before the deadline. So I couldn't say one way or another definitively, you know, what that would look like if we were buying.
You talked to Bob after the Rodgers trade and then another loss the next day. How do you see the coaching staff, the manager, you know, moving forward And is this directly the result of the players just not living up to expectations more than anything?
Yeah, we've got confidence in Bob and his staff. And like I mentioned, the goal, you know, the goal tomorrow is to go win a game in New York and just get back to playing better baseball. I mean, we've got a lot of games left to play. And, you know, in sports, you just go out and you do the best to be prepared and then see how it shakes out.
And do you think this team can contend next year yes. based on what you see now? Yes. And yes, what needs to be done in the offseason with yourself and the team moving forward?
Yes, I do think they can contend. I do. I don't know what we're going to do in the offseason yet. I mean, I don't.
Okay. Thank you.
Maria Gordado.
Hi, Buster and Zach. Do you guys expect Buto or any of the other players that you acquired to be active this weekend?
Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, Buto will be active. So beyond that, still TBD, but Buto will be active.
And then how do you expect to replace Camilo in the ninth and then Yaz in right field for the time being?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of maintain the same stance. We want Bob and the coaching staff when it comes to the lineup day to day and on how we do that. Certainly feel like we have some pretty good in-house potential replacements with Randy's been great. Ryan Walker's pitched in that closer role before, so feel like we have some pretty good options there.
Alex.
Hey, Zach, you're not too far removed from being in a role where you'd be scouting all of these guys. Can you maybe run us through some of what you felt you got back? And especially with the Rodgers trade, it seems like those guys are pretty close to big league ready. One of them has been up. Could you just kind of run us through what you like about?
Sure. Yeah, pretty good history. I mean, not just myself, but Michael Holmes we had here the past week, and these were Blake Tidwell and Drew Gilbert, both highly regarded, high draft picks within the past couple of years. So Tidwell's got a big arm, plus breaking ball. Gilbert, left-handed hitter, plus defender, plays with an edge. Two players that we've had interest in since they were draft eligible. So pretty excited about them. Jesus Rodriguez, catcher we got back from the Yankees, AAA, swing the bat, can really throw, athletic enough to move around the field. And we think he could be a quality defensive catcher. Parks Harbor is a hitter that we got, one of the better performers in minor league baseball this year after being a non-drafted free agent. Tristan Vreeling was another higher draft pick out of Gonzaga with a good arm, pitched up to AA. Velocity's been trending up. Carlos De La Rosa is a young left-hander, another person, arm strength. We think there's some upside there. And in the Yaz deal, we're excited to get back Junior Marte, young pitcher in low A, having a great year, 2.7 ERA, he's big body, 6'5", arm strength. So I think anytime you make these types of deals, especially trading players that you know, one, have meant what they've meant to the organization, like Raj and Yaz and Doval having 2 years of control, you want to feel pretty good about, you know, what you're getting back. And we feel like we added to the system. And yeah, it's a huge plus to get players like Tidwell and Gilbert, who we think are very close to major league ready.
Go to Shayna Rubin.
Yes, for Buster, you mentioned that the postseason isn't necessarily off the table and the goal is to go out and win the next day. But from a front office perspective, how do you view the objective of the rest of this season? What are you looking to see?
Just again, Shayna, that we get back to playing the brand of baseball that we were playing early in the season. We'll probably get some different looks at some different players over the next couple of months. But yeah, I mean, I think you've, regardless of where you are and in the standings and, you know, how poorly you've played, you're just hoping to see that there's tiny little, you know, incremental gains daily, whether that's in your work leading up to the game or whether that's in the game itself. So I think that's a few things we'll be looking for.
Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. You're listening to Buster Posey and Giants GM Zach Manassian speaking live after the trade deadline.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. You look at a team like the Twins, and they obviously really dismantled their roster. You guys, did something far less than that. You have other impending free agents, a Verlander, a Wilmer Flores. They weren't traded. A Yaz was. Can you just take us through the thought process between moving on from Yaz, but maybe keeping some of the other guys? And did you actually even approach Verlander and ask him if he'd like to be traded?
It's I guess when you're making a deal, you have to feel comfortable about what you're getting your return. And we felt good about what we were able to add in the Yaz deal with Marte and the upside that he is as a starting pitcher. And then, so what else did you ask? Something about Verlander. Did we approach him? No, I didn't have any talks with him. We've had talks in the past about, this was before he even signed, about, what he might would want to do at the deadline. But again, nothing came to fruition where it made sense for us to explore that move.
And then just looking at the Duvall trade, again, making a reference to the Twins, they moved their closer and got two top 100 prospects for him, obviously a pretty compelling return. Did you feel like you had to move Duvall at this time? Was this just an ideal time to move him, or did you really feel the return was that compelling?
Well, the return was compelling. I mean, Rodriguez, I know, is not ranked very high, but, as Zach highlighted, the guy, all he's done is hit. I think he's been a player listening to our pro scouting department talk about him that's kind of come onto the scene a little bit later. There's never really been a famous guy. You're 308 career hitter in the minor leagues. He watches swing, he sprays the ball over the field. We're happy, excited about him. Again, Harbor, guy that's really, really hit. Freeling, a guy that's probably gives us some good depth, and then you get some upside with De La Rosa. So, no, we're not going to move on from Duvall unless we're really happy about what our return is.
Okay, two more. Let's go to Sam Lubman.
Hey, Buster. Just kind of go off some of the earlier questions about kind of what to expect these next 2 months. I know you said obviously there is still a push to contend as much as possible, but at the same time, do you see maybe a shift in focus to maybe bring up some guys from AAA and getting a look at them? I mean, you already got Wisenhunt up here, but is there a chance you could see guys like a Marco Luciano or a Bryce Eldridge up with the big club at some point over these next 2 months?
I think it's on the table. I would probably downplay the Eldridge piece a little bit just because he was hurt for a while this year, and we still, want him to continue to progress, get his reps, play first. But yeah, these are conversations we'll have amongst ourselves and decide on who we think gives us a chance to win. At the same time, potentially some time to evaluate as well.
And then when did it kind of become clear that you guys needed to become sellers? Was it before this most recent series against the Pirates, or is this a situation where if the last couple days games went differently, would we even be having this conversation? Just when did that moment really kind of come to you where you realize like we need to sell here at the deadline?
Yeah, like I said, there was no clear defining moment. I think it was watching the way we played over the last month, how poorly we've played since the break, and felt like this was a time that we needed to try to get back some players that'll help us going forward in the future.
And then lastly, this regarding Rafi Devers, I mean, obviously he was one of the big moves you made earlier, but he's had some groin and back issues there. Is his health still good there, or has there been any discussions about maybe scaling back his workload a little bit just to make sure that he's all right and ready to go going into next year?
No, everything I'm hearing is he's good to go. He's healthy. Guy likes to be on the field and plan on him being out there.
Thank you, Buster.
Okay, last one to Susan.
Buster, you mentioned feeling like you guys will be contenders next year. How much of that played into some of the other moves that maybe you didn't make? I'm assuming that there was probably a great deal of interest in Robbie Ray. Did you field some calls for him, or did you make it clear that he was off the table for reasons like that? And if that's the case, why not hang on to somebody like Doval?
Yeah, Robbie's been great this year. Again, pitching and defense wins. Feel good about him going into the season next year. So yeah, there were some calls, but I mean, we would have had to have been blown out of the water. We obviously didn't get there. And then on Doval, again, it's the type of return we were able to get right now, made us, make that move.
And could you see, maybe revisiting Tyler or Yaz in the offseason? You obviously go back with them. They're both free agents.
I want to be careful here. I'm not sure. Like,
oh yeah, you don't want to tamper.
Comment on, since they're on a different team now.
Yep. Okay, with that, we will conclude today's call. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
No, thank you, Buster.
Yeah.
All right, there it is. That's Buster Posey, General Manager Zach Manassian, a cast of thousands, including our own Sam Lubman, but questions from Susan Slusser and John Shea and Alex Pavlovich and the rest, and also the voice of the man in charge of communications, Matt Chisholm, there, who is running the Zoom for the Giants after all of the deadline moves. And again, if you're just joining us, Camilo Doval is with the Yankees, Mike Yastrzemski is with the Royals. Five new players coming to the Giants. All five of the acquisitions today, currently in the minor leagues. Tyler Rogers yesterday, three-player return with one player already in the majors and two considered to be on the doorstep. So some interesting stuff. I don't know what stood out to you. Let's start with this. The return from the Yankees, it's so funny how married we all are to kind of these top prospect lists,
sure,
which have a lot of guesswork involved in them. And you could tell that a couple questions went to Buster where people were like, so... Right, like you got prospect 10 and 12 from the Mets yesterday for Tyler Rogers. Why did you deal Doval for the Yankees 19th, 25th, and then two guys not even on it when you didn't need to do Doval? And the Giants are very much trying to sell, no, we really like the return. And he first pointed to Jesus Rodriguez,
there it is,
the catcher. And so I was stuck on that prior to that to that press conference, and now I'm even more stuck on it.
And you should be stuck on it because that, honestly, is the centerpiece of that trade. And you look at the player, Jesus Rodriguez, and he talked about 317 in AAA this year, and an OPS, as I mentioned, up about almost 900 in the way he's been able to hit, and he's got a plus arm, and he was lauding his defense. And what I heard Buster say without saying it is, he's a better hitter than Bailey, and he's maybe as good of a thrower. So, yeah, maybe he's not highly rated on the prospect list, but he's a catcher who can hit, and he can also throw, and so we like that in a catcher.
At minimum, Bailey needs to be pushed.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely needs to be pushed. Coming up, maybe it's a later this year, maybe it's a next year thing, maybe it's in spring training in February, whatever it may be. But there's nothing in the Giants farm system at that position.
Right.
And the guy that's a former first-round draft pick who is playing there right now is struggling to hit 200. And so, yeah, I think that this player clearly became very interesting to the Giants because they need someone down there who can battle for at-bats. And at minimum, by the way, be the second catcher. Like, that position is always now in baseball going to seemingly get one start per series most of the time. So you need to. And so I don't necessarily know if it signals the end of Bailey or anything like that. But I can tell they want more at that position. And that was a guy that got Doval across the finish line for them.
Yeah, and they also get Christian Vreeling, who started 25 games in AA last year and went 13-7 with a .458. So... Yep. He's a starting pitcher who's almost 24, and you feel like he might be ready to go next year. And the interesting one is just the way they were talking about some of the other guys in the Rodgers trade, particularly Blade Tidwell, who is on the 40-man roster already.
Yep.
And I've been keeping an eye on the 40-man because it's been changing throughout the show. And you mentioned the catching spot. Right now you've got Tom Murphy, who hasn't played all year with a herniated disc in his back. I would imagine as we get down the road of this week, you're going to probably see him get released because you're going to need these spots. And, you know, he talked about Eldridge as well. There's a lot of names that are being thrown out who are not on the 40-man roster. You mentioned Kaiwei Tang earlier. If he gets activated to the big club, well, that's a spot on the 40-man that has to get freed up as well. So I start to look at some of these names, and you're going to see over the next 2 months a lot of turnover on this roster.
Yeah, Tom Murphy did sign a 2-year deal before last season. Farhan Zaidi signed, kind of a power-hitting catcher who just has not been healthy the entire time. They do hold a club option for next year. So I don't, like, you know, you but you may well be right. They'll decline that option and release him off of the 40-man. That very well could happen.
He's 34 and a half with a herniated disc in his back.
Right, and has missed now two consecutive seasons due to health. So, yeah, this may well be a wrap. Might not be something that you have to do right away, but no doubt about it. There's more maneuvering coming there. By the way, Tim Kirkjian of ESPN, and this is super special on deadline day to get him to come on and give us info and reaction right away. Tim Kirkjian, one of the top baseball writers and voices out there, at 5 o'clock. That happens to only be 5 minutes away. So Tim is going to join us here in just a matter of minutes, and we look forward to that conversation on Willard and Dibs. Also, there were many observations, it was Lubman who asked Buster about Bryce Eldridge and Marco Luciano, and would they now be coming up at some point to get a look? Buster said everything's on the table, but then he downplayed the Eldridge part of it, not Luciano, but downplayed the Eldridge part of it due to the fact that he was hurt and missed a lot of time. So you're not going to see Bryce Eldridge anytime soon. I think it's on the table that he comes up and gets some at-bats. That feels at minimum like a September thing to me.
And it depends on how he continues to play and if he stays healthy down in AAA and all the rest of it. I don't know if they have the same urgency to come up and see him right now and see if he can hit big league pitching. It's probably more a case of him actually playing first base, which leads you back to Devers, right? If Devers is going to play first and get comfortable at first, then do you want to have Eldridge come up and just DH? Feels like you've got a logjam at first base right now if you want Devers to continue to get comfortable.
So, more moves coming. They did confirm that Buto, the reliever they got from the Mets, is going to be active and on the roster coming up this weekend. Will anybody else from these trades, because count it up, let's see, it was 3 + 4 + 1, right? Okay, so 8 yep. players, the 7 minor leaguers, will any of them be up? Because some of them are close and AAA players. Yep. Will any of them be up right away this weekend? The Giants were non-committal and kind of said that when it gets to players up and playing time and all of that, we're going to defer a little bit to the coaching staff. But again, Grant McCray, an outfielder we know, Kaiwei Tang, a pitcher that we know, they've both been scratched from their Sacramento starts tonight. So methinks they're on the way.
Yeah. And just one quick note, Drew Gilbert this year in AAA, left-handed hitting outfielder, 12 homers, 47 driven in, and an OPS of 777. So he's been tearing it up. But playing well in AAA, left-handed throwing and hitting outfielder.
Yeah, my guess is he goes down at least to start because McCray is also left-handed hitting outfielder. He may get that first shot, but we'll see. We'll see. A lot of moving and shaking. Can't believe we're here, but we are. Tim Kirkjian, ESPN, joins us next. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibs.